Ruth, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 22 on page 268. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Then, just as Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters, "The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you," they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, "Whose young woman is that?" The foreman replied, "She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you should notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with your people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have given me comfort and spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one in whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz." "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. That man is our relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabitess said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they had finished harvesting all the grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It'll be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and the wheat harvest were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What do you think grace is? How, in practice, should we show grace in our lives? What does it mean for you to believe in a God of grace? In our culture today, the word grace means something like beauty or elegance, doesn't it? I mean, when we say things like, oh, she's gracious, we mean she moves elegantly, she looks beautiful. But in the Bible, the word grace is of much greater importance than that. And here, in this story of Ruth, we have grace. But unlike perhaps other parts of the Bible, the grace here is shown not in theological explanation, but in a story. And nevertheless, it is amazing grace. So let's see how grace develops in this story, in the practical lives of real people struggling. You will remember, if you were here last week when we started in Ruth chapter 1, how Naomi and her family left the land of Israel, the town of Bethlehem, where they were from, because of famine, and went to the foreign country, the pagan country of Moab, and there they suffered tragedy. The husband died, the sons died, and Naomi, bitter and empty, comes back to town, to Bethlehem, tagging along with her Moabite daughter-in-law, Ruth. So let's pick up the story at verse 22. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth, the Moabitess, the foreigner, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem just as the barley harvest was beginning. It sets the scene. Will Naomi's bitterness ever become sweet again? Will her emptiness ever be filled? Will she find grace? What is grace in everyday life? Well, we're going to have a look at it, and we're going to have a look at grace through two characters in this story. Two characters in this second act of the great drama. And the first character is Boaz, the man of grace. Boaz, the man of grace. Have a look, please, at verse 1. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing, or perhaps better translated, a man of character, a man of nobility. This is a description of his character, whose name was Boaz. He is indeed one of the most attractive characters in the whole Bible. And the reason why Boaz is so attractive is that he is a man of grace. So let's see this grace active in this character. Well, first of all, we see Ruth's search for grace in verse 2. Ruth the Moabitess. Notice again how the stress is on her foreign origins. The Moabitess, the foreigner, the other, said to Naomi, her mother-in-law, let me go to the fields and to pick up the leftover grain left by anyone in whose eyes I find favor. Favor or grace. She needs grace in order to survive, in order to eat. And so that's what actually happens. She goes out into the fields. And there, in verse 4, we have Boaz just happening onto those fields. And those the first words he says actually discloses something of his gracious character. Have a look at them. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. The Lord be with you. That little phrase, which is so familiar perhaps to us, is the first time in the Bible somebody says those words. And it discloses the man he is. He is a man of God, a man of the God of Israel, who wants God to be with people. And indeed, that is recognized by his workers. The Lord bless you, they call back. They recognize there's something really special in this man. For us, these phrases might be, you know, the Lord bless you or God bless you, might just be standard. But no, here we're meant to recognize something important about this guy. And so, in verse 6, Boaz recognizes this foreigner, this character. Who is she? I've never seen her before, says Boaz. Who is this one? And the foreman replies, well, she's the Moabitess, the foreigner. You know, that funny one from that terrible country who came back from Moab with Naomi. And she's asked that she might have some help so that she might be able to pick up some of the stalks and, you know, to have some food. Well, Boaz could react in a number of ways. You see, those were the times of the judges. Those were terrible times for Israel, cruel and wicked times, and in which many men were not men of grace, but men of cruelty and evil. The implication is that if Ruth had wandered into somebody else's field, and there are many indications throughout this, well, she could have been molested, and even worse, raped. We know that that sort of thing happened from the book of Judges. So there's a real contrast being made here between Boaz, this man of grace, and the other men in Israel. So, Boaz says in verse 8, Boaz said to Ruth, my daughter, listen to me, don't go and glean in another field, because it's dangerous, implication. And don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting. Follow along with the girls. I've told the men not to touch you. They're not going to molest you. Nothing's going to happen to you. You're going to be safe here, Ruth. And whenever you're thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled. You see, Ruth is astonished by this. Why should a man like that, a man of character, a man of nobility, an important man, a rich man, notice and have grace and compassion and favor on her? And what does she do? Well, at this, she bowed down with her face to the ground, a sign of astonishing recognition and respect for this guy, Boaz. Why, she exclaims, why is it? How can I have found grace? What is so special about me? Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner? And there's a word play here. That you notice me, an unnoticed foreigner. Why are you so gracious? What is it about grace that's so amazing? And then Boaz tells her, well, I've been told about what you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with the people you did not know before. Well, Ruth, you're a woman of grace. You showed grace to this poor woman, your mother-in-law, didn't you? And then he goes on to give her a blessing, and we'll come to that a little later. In verse 13, the theme of grace and this interaction of grace continues. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord. Or better, my Lord, why have you been so gracious to me? You are so gracious to me. You have given me comfort to a poor widowed woman and have spoken kindly, or more exactly, you have shown me covenant grace to your servant, though I do not even have the standing of one of your servant girls. You see, Boaz's grace transcends all the barriers. He is a man of seniority, of age. That's why he calls her my daughter. There's an age gap, and he transcends that age gap. There's a gender gap. He's a man, she's a woman, and yet he shows grace to a woman. He's an Israelite, she's a Moabitess, and yet he shows grace to her. And there's a class gap. He's a rich man. She, as in her own admission, is less than a servant girl. And yet, he shows grace. He shows grace to the other, the unnoticeable one. And what does he do? Well, he shows it in practice by giving her food. And food, eating with someone, is a sign of grace. It's really special in the Bible to eat with someone. It shows your love, your compassion, your kindness, your grace towards them. And then in verses 15 to 19, he arranges the field so that she goes away back home with a huge amount of food. It's 22 liters of grain stuffs. And no wonder when she gets home to her mother-in-law, her mother-in-law is so astonished that she should have found grace and favor. You see, one commentator has put it this way on the character of Boaz. Grace became fleshed and lived in Bethlehem. Grace became flesh and lived in Bethlehem. And that's a beautiful way of putting it, isn't it? Because actually we know from the New Testament that Boaz, great son, is Jesus himself. He is of the family of Jesus. And yet for us, what we see here is grace lived out in practice, in an ordinary person, in a practical way. Words of grace, deeds of grace, and believing and trusting in a God of grace. Grace that reaches out to the other. And we here at Christ Church have an opportunity after this service and after the 11 o'clock service of actually showing grace to the other. We're going to be running the Passion for Life mission in March. There are going to be tables at the end for you to sign up to things to help. Show grace to the other, the people we don't know in Virginia Water, by signing up to Passion for Life. But it's been very challenging for me to actually study and meditate on this chapter, because it asks me the question, am I a man of grace? Do people see words of grace in me? Do people see deeds of grace in me? Do people see the Lord of grace in my life? And may this amazing chapter challenge and motivate you to show grace to the other, the God indeed of grace. And that brings us to the second character who shows grace in this story. And that is, of course, the Lord himself. The Lord, the God of grace. The Lord, the God of grace, the second character. And we see this God of grace working, so to speak, behind the scenes, motivating Boaz's grace in his life. Have a look once more at verse 3, at the beginning of the chapter. Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, or more exactly in the Hebrew, as chance chanced. So who's behind this arrangement? How is it that Ruth turned up in the right field belonging to this right person who was going to show her grace, when if she'd gone into somebody else's field, well, it wouldn't have turned out that way? The author means us to read, well, it's the sovereign grace of God himself who so arranged it that she went into the right field at quite the right time. And that is underlined in verse 4. Just then Boaz arrived. Just then? Or literally, behold, look, Boaz. It's meant to suggest that God shapes our times and the people who come into our lives and the places so that he may show grace. We're meant to discern from this the hidden gracious hand of God himself. Now, we might feel as we go through this chapter, well, we should show grace to foreigners. Yes, and that God's grace includes everyone. Of course that is true. But God's grace actually turns us inside out and brings us to faith. And we can see that in verse 11 and 12. Why does Boaz show grace? Because he recognizes the grace of God has turned this Moabitess to know and to love and to worship the God of Israel. And so in verse 12, again a disclosure of the God of grace. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. Lord, that is the covenant name of God, Yahweh, the God of Israel. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, underlined, God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. That picture of wings actually alludes to a mother hen. A mother hen who compassionately and graciously protects her little chicks by extending her wings so that they can hide and find shelter and refuge under the wings of mother hen. Now that's quite a surprising and astonishing image to use, isn't it? Because we happen to think of the God of the Old Testament especially as the Lord of hosts, the great and mighty warrior. And yes, of course that's true. That is true. He is the great and the mighty warrior. But of course he is also, in the Old Testament here, the God of Israel is the tender, compassionate God of grace. That is what he's like. And that is filled out at the end. When Naomi recognizes that what she prayed for Ruth, a husband, well, maybe the Lord is answering that prayer from chapter 1. How's he answering it? Well, look at Naomi's reaction to the grace that Ruth has found through Boaz. Verse 20, the Lord bless him. Well, actually, it's literally, the Lord be blessed. Why? Because he is the one who's done this, Naomi said to her daughter. He, that is God himself, has not stopped showing his kindness, literally covenant grace, to the living and the dead. Covenant grace reaching out to Naomi and to Ruth, and yes, even to her dead husband and sons. How so? Well, in Old Testament terms, God shows grace to the dead by giving them sons, giving them a line, giving them a family. And yet, how's he going to do that? Since they're now dead and there are no children anymore. It's a question left hanging over this chapter. Come back in the next couple of weeks and we'll see how that is resolved. But for us, we know how that's resolved. Grace to the dead. Grace in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace in the resurrection yet to come. We know about grace because we are New Covenant people. We are Christians. And those verses that Francis read at the beginning of the service from Ephesians chapter 2, well, that great chapter on grace focuses our minds, doesn't it? Paul says, praising the Lord Jesus Christ and God, that he has showed us the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in kindness in Christ Jesus. And he says, it is by grace you have been saved. What does that mean? It means God's unmerited goodness, his kindness, his favor, his mercy upon us, the undeserving wretches and sinners. How's he done it? Through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the place where we find grace, isn't it, brothers and sisters? That's the place where Jesus takes the punishment that we deserve. That's the place where he rescues us from the judgment to come. And it's all out of grace. Not only does he show forgiveness and mercy, he actually clothes us with something positive. He clothes us with himself. He gives us his righteousness, his holiness, his goodness to motivate us to live lives of grace. So has the grace of God in Jesus Christ touched your life? Does the grace of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ move and motivate you to grace? In your everyday circumstances, in each relationship, in each place where you go to, do you see the hand of sovereign grace in your life? Those are the questions that this wonderful chapter on grace and the God of grace puts before us. So let's now wrap up and sum up. Why is Boaz so gracious? Why is it that people in your life have shown you grace? It's because of the Lord, the God of Israel, hidden behind the scenes. It is because of his grace, his unconquerable, irresistible grace. For the grace of God is not without effect. It works in hearts and minds and wills, changing us so that we show something supernatural, grace to others. Why then is grace so amazing? For it lies at the very heart of God, and it makes us live in grace. May you this day find grace underneath the wings of the Lord God of Israel.